This is Ottawa Now with Christy Cameron on News Talk 580 CFRA. Question of the day on News Talk 580 CFRA.
How would you revitalize Ottawa's downtown core? I'm asking because MP Yasser Naqvi has announced the creation of a task force to revitalize downtown Ottawa. There's going to be a whole bunch of voices coming together, and they're going to sit around and they're going to evaluate what can be done. Downtown Ottawa, we're talking about empty office space. We're talking about affordable and social housing. We're talking about the future of our city. Couple quick things here. Number one, we still have a lot of people that are working from home. StatsCan estimates about 46% of Ottawa's workforce is still working from home. And that is more than other places in the country where it's roughly 28%. So you've got fewer people on transit. I'll tell you today, coming downtown, I took the LRT and it was a ghost town. And it paused for a lot longer than usual. That was before it was back up and running from end to end. You could only take it to Rideau. There were very few people there. Now we're heading into a weekend where a lot of people are having a long weekend, so I think that's why. I think people have already started making their way to their plans, and many of you are texting in, but even on a day-to-day basis, it's just not where they want it to be. Ridership on OC Transpo is not at pre-pandemic levels. Foot traffic in the Byward Market is picking up in the summer because we've got tourism, but just in general, walking around downtown, you're not getting as many people. The restaurants notice it, especially for quick things where people carry out and they take it back to work. The fitness studios that are downtown, they notice it because a lot of people would come in the morning, go to a boxing class or do something before work or head there after work. The coffee shops, they notice it. There's just fewer people that are down here. And then there's the demand for office space, which has also taken a hit. So you tell me, what would you do? I'm seeing many people talking about a strategy to help homeless people. I'm seeing people saying that we just need to make it a little bit nicer looking down here. That's an interesting one. Somebody said, lift the ban on bagpipes on Spark Street. Okay, let's bring on Yasser Naqvi. You can text into the show, 580-580. Hello, Yasser. Thank you for coming on the show.
Good afternoon, Christy. Thank you for having me on the show.
Why the need to create a task force? Let's start there.
Well, as you just stated yourself, the pandemic has taken a huge hit on our downtown core. I mean, we all remember how busy downtown Ottawa used to be with workers coming in and all those office towers being full, those plazas in those buildings with small businesses operating, doing some incredible business. But all of that stopped because of the pandemic, because we had to make sure that people are safe. We asked people to work from home. And we're still working through the pandemic, even though people are starting to come back to the office. But the reality is that hybrid workplaces are here to stay. And it is important for us to start thinking proactively now as to what our downtown core looks like. What are our opportunities to revitalize our downtown core? In other words, let's reimagine it. And I have been having many conversations with members of my community. As you know, I represent Ottawa Center, where the commercial sector is located. And people have been asking me that question. And I thought it would be great to bring some business leaders, community leaders all together. These are smart people, and come up with creative ideas that we can use and advocate and make change happen.
Personally, what do you envision?
I think there's first of all, we need to find ways to bring people back to the downtown core. People are key to the vibrancy of any community. They are the one who make any community feel alive, feel vibrant. So what we need to see is find ways is how can we bring people back? You mentioned opportunities for converting some of the commercial empty office space. into residential space. That's a need. We know we need more housing. We need more affordable and social housing. There's an opportunity for us. We need to explore ways of attracting other kinds of businesses, perhaps the high-tech sector, to consider setting up shop in the downtown core. Not to mention, I think we should find ways to look at reimagining some of our tourism infrastructure, because that's where the parliament is located. All our national institutions, museums, and art galleries are located. And of course, let's also reimagine the use of LRT by way of bringing people from suburbs to come downtown, to enjoy dinner, to visit inclusive spaces. Christy, there's so much we can do, but I think we need to exercise of putting some really good, creative, bold ideas at the table, and then the important work around advocacy. I just don't want us to wait till this pandemic over to start that work. I think the urgency is now.
I'm glad that you did acknowledge the idea of converting some of this empty office space into housing, because let's be frank, and I don't want to say this and offend small businesses. I'm a big proponent of small business, but a lot of these office workers are never coming back. Some people are working hybrid, but some people don't ever want to come back. And it seems very clear to me that the future of work has been changed permanently by this.
I think your assessment is absolutely right. And I think it will be naive to expect us to wish that we will go somehow back to workplace dynamics of pre-pandemic times. That is just not going to happen. Future work has been in discussion for a long time, and the pandemic made it happen. It's a work-life balance. It's a mental health issue for many people. There are going to be a lot of people who will prefer working from home and be very productive. Some people will like a combination, and some people like to come back. But I think the end product is that we are going to have more surplus space available to us that could be seen as an opportunity to do other things, like converting commercial space into residential space. Now, we have to be mindful that it's not an easy thing to convert commercial space into residential space, because they're built differently. But are there opportunities? Are we seeing projects? There's one happening right now in downtown Ottawa where that's taking place. Calgary and Edmonton is also a very good example, where the municipality in Calgary in particular took very proactive steps to start converting commercial space into residential space after the last big slowdown in the energy market. I think we have that opportunity to look at how Ottawa can do the same thing to bring people back in our core to either live, work, or play.
The other thing that's cropping up on the text board more than once is helping the homeless population downtown. Now, I'm just speaking anecdotally because Yasser Naqvi, I was working from home for about 2 years. And when I came back down to the Byward Market, to me, it seems like there are more people now that need help. Like if you walk down Rideau Street, you walk through the market, it's a mix of tourists right now, people that work down here, families enjoying an ice cream or a treat on a hot summer day. And then there's a lot of people that clearly need help. And it seems like there's a lot more.
There are a lot more. And when you speak to housing advocates, when you speak with peer support workers, those who work with people with mental health and addiction issues, they will tell you, and it's well documented now, that the pandemic had a disproportional impact on those who were marginalized to begin with. So we have seen increase in homelessness, we've seen increase in addiction use, and those who suffer from it being out on the streets. So you're absolutely right, Christy. There's an opportunity for us to look at creating spaces for support as well. And that's why the composition of the task force that I announced today have community partners, have members of local business improvement areas who are really focused on ensuring that there are supports for those who are marginalized in our community and other important people as well. I think we need to look at that particular possibility. Also in terms of transitional support, in terms of services being made available in the downtown core, because it is their community as well. And I firmly always believe in that we need to make them part of our community and find solutions that are inclusive in nature, not an opportunity to send them somewhere else.
I'll read you a text message. Speaking of somewhere else, Somebody here is challenging the notion that we need to give so much attention to downtown because, as they point out, a lot of people are now working from home. And this person says, why do we need to revitalize downtown? Why is downtown the be-all and end-all of a city? Perhaps we should think about ways we can spread the love a little out to the suburbs where people are actually working now. So I'll put that to you, Yasser Naqvi, your thoughts.
Well, you know, if you look at downtown cores of any city around the world, they are very much the heartbeat of that particular city. That's where people come when they're visiting a city like Ottawa, is to see what the downtown looks like. We are even in a unique place because we are our nation's capital city. This is where our parliamentary buildings are located. I think it will be a huge error on our part as a city if we ignore our downtown and let it just crumble on its own. I said that today in my remarks that if we don't pay attention to our downtown and come up with new ideas, my worry is of Detroit circa 1990s, where we were just dilapidated and lost the vibrancy in that community. So I'm not suggesting that we just focus on downtown and ignore the rest of the city. Of course not. We need to make sure that all our communities are healthy. But right now, I think where we're seeing the biggest challenge as a result of the pandemic is the downtown core, specifically the commercial sector of our downtown core. And we need to make sure that we're looking at ways to revitalize it.
Yasser Naqvi, thanks very much.
Thank you, and have a good weekend.
You as well. Ottawa Centre Liberal MP Yasser Naqvi joining us on Ottawa Now. Text into the show and let us know. He mentioned helping the homeless population, creating more affordable housing, getting more people into the downtown core. How do you think we could revitalize Ottawa's downtown? Let us know. Some person here just said parking. Mike Vanier adjacent says, parking, it's so darn expensive. We need plenty of free parking. Free parking. Actually, Mike just says they've eliminated more parking spots. Another person was saying plenty of free parking. Well, sure, that would be nice. I don't think you're ever going to get it. I parked the other day because, you know, I kind of do a mix sometimes. Maybe one day a weekend I'll get a ride or I do a mix of things. And I drove in the other day. I only parked for a couple of hours. And it was $16. Whew. $3.20.
You're listening to Ottawa Now with Christy Cameron on News Talk 580 CFRA.
$3.25, welcome back. Beautiful weather out there right now. It looks like it's going to continue through the whole holiday weekend. David Phillips, senior climatologist with Environment Canada, joined Patricia Bull on CFRA earlier today to give us a sense of what we're looking at.
People only call me when there's a big black cloud hanging over you.
I know.
Or when is the rain going to stop? Or when is it going to come? Or how powerful will those winds? Have we ever seen something like that before?
Get us out of this.
Usually
that's
boring,
where we're at. Yeah.
I mean, it is absolutely, this is probably the best August-long weekend in the Ottawa area in the last 10 years. It is just a perfect 10. There's nothing about it that I could say, well, maybe a little bit of cloud tomorrow, but hey, there's no weather. It's like a weather-free zone. No records are going to be established. So there's nothing to brag about other than the fact to enjoy it.
Pretty much from what I'm looking at here in front of me, we do have a slight chance of showers today. And then it just looks like maybe a few clouds tomorrow and pretty much full on sunshine Sunday and Monday.
Oh.
So as long as you love the sun, you're golden.
Absolutely. And, you know, often the getaway day is today. And, oh, there is a 30% chance. Patricia, I don't even carry an umbrella for 30%. I mean, that's not likely to happen. Maybe in somebody's backyard, but not. It's not a washout, not a general rain. It's just a little bit of cloud with a little bit of precipitation, and it'll disappear. By the time you get on the road and up to the cottage country or to open your cabin or wherever you're headed, and that's the other thing about Patricia. If you're in Ottawa and it's a great weekend, but if you're traveling, let's say you go to cottage country, mm-hmm. you go to Algonquin Park, go down to Toronto or to Montreal, hey, it's just this very, very friendly high-pressure area that's just sitting over us and giving us all kinds of absolutely gorgeous weather. I mean, last year, on August 1st, it rained for some days. Temperatures are 8 degrees colder than normal, more cloud than sun. I mean, it was more like real fall than summer. Well, this one is absolutely near perfect. And, there may be a little, I see on the icon, a little chance of rain come Monday. Monday night. I mean, that could be really Tuesday morning. I mean, it is. So you're bookended by maybe a little rain here, but in between, oh my gosh, just absolutely gorgeous 3 days.
Is this seasonal temperatures for us, or is this slightly above here?
Yeah, it's slightly above, Patricia. I mean, we typically would get in Ottawa. This is close to the dog days, but a week after the dog days of summer. So typically where you get your warmest temperature. So we see a high of 30 degrees. I mean, that's just good, you know, beaching weather and muscle shirt and tank top kind of weather. I mean, that's about 4 degrees warmer than you normally would expect. Nobody is going to feel the heat or the humidity with that. A little bit maybe, but you just head for the shade or have a nice cool one, and that's the way you handle that. So I just think it's it. And you know, it's not just one day. We're not just picking, well, what would be the best of the 3 days to do your activities on August 1st? It's just from beginning to end. So it's, but you know, Patricia, it's been not a bad summer. I know you described it as it's too cold. I mean, I'm sure you're referring to the winter time,
mm-hmm.
but it has been absolutely, when I look at the summer, we just do an obituary on the summer right now. It is showing that temperatures in Ottawa have been, you know, a bit near normal. I mean, normal is good.
Yeah.
Precipitation, I mean, everybody in the southwestern part of the province complained, farmers are saying, not enough rain, the crops are stunted. Well, in the Ottawa area, the precipitation's about 5 to 10% more precipitation than normal. And it's consistent right from May, June, and July. I mean, I don't think Hollywood couldn't write a better script for kind of weather in the. Now, I know we had that terrible windstorm in May, and there's been a couple of scary moments and wild winds, but that's just the normal lazy, hazy, crazy days of summer.
Yeah.
But overall, I think it has been absolutely near perfect.
Cheers to that. Your news is coming up next.
/Canada.
It was the summer of love.
You're listening to Ottawa Now with Christy Cameron on News Talk 580 CFRA.
3:36. The situation in our hospitals is dire. You know what? Dire doesn't even cut it. When you look at the reality that nurses are facing, that patients are facing, it's abysmal. The fact that Ontario hospitals, some of them, are having to temporarily close their emergency rooms, it is appalling. And if you're a patient that's waiting for care, or let's say you're somebody who can't go to the emergency room because it's been closed due to a staffing shortage, then you've got to drive to be seen by another doctor in another town. It's very distressing. And the staffing shortages continue. They are taking a massive toll on nurses. And when you hear them, it is clearly pushing them to the brink. The Registered Nurses Association of Ontario and the Ontario Nurses Association have been calling for faster licensing in the process for internationally trained nurses. And this is really lending itself, this call, to the current situation we're in. They're saying, look at the patient care. Look at the people that are suffering, that are waiting. And we have people that are waiting in the wings. They simply need to be processed much faster. Doris Grinspun joins us now, the CEO of the Registered Nurses Association of Ontario. Welcome back.
Thank you for having me, Christy.
So when you say we need to fast track or improve this process, what does that actually mean? How long are they waiting?
Well, some of them have been waiting up to 3 years or more. The reality is that the college recently this year is processing faster, but not fast enough. So in the past, they used to process 1,000, 1,500 internationally educated nurses per year. This year so far, they have processed 4,000. So that's a big improvement. But Christy, we have 26,000 ready to go and waiting, of which 14,000 are registered nurses. So they need to even double the processing. And if the province needs to help them with resources, so be it. But patients are suffering the consequences. My colleagues in the front line are suffering the consequences because their workloads continue to go up. They need to continue to cancel days off and vacations, and they simply cannot do it anymore. They have been doing this for almost 3 years, Christy.
There was a 2020 report that found there was close to 15,000 international nurses that are seeking license. That was 2020. How many do you think it is now?
That grew to 26,000. That's the tragedy. At the time that...
That's 26,000 now?
Yes, 26,000. Maybe now because of the 4,000 they process is 22,000. But it only went up instead of going down, right? So that's the problem. The problem is that we gave warning sign after warning sign. Since 2012, we have been saying Ontario has the lowest RN per population in this country. On top of that, we have Bill 124. So this is why nurses are leaving. They're leaving, the RNs in this province are leaving to agency work because they get better paid. They're leaving to the U.S. because they get better paid and their workloads are better. And they leave to even Alberta because they get better paid. The premier needs to put giant steps all together at once with Minister Sylvie Jones and with Premier of Minister of Finance. Let's not forget the Minister of Finance. He's the one that keeps the wallet closed, right? So Minister of Finance needs to open that wallet and say Bill 124 is gone. RN, stay in Ontario. We need you desperately here. Not only, Christy, we are closing ERs. We are now closing ICUs. There was a hospital already that closed, and others that are at the brinks of closing ICUs. Can you imagine being ventilated in a unit, your family needing to see that you're transferred to another one, as it happened yesterday? Like, this needs to stop, and the only way to stop the hemorrhage of nurses so we don't see hemorrhage of patients is to bring more RNs on board faster. Take that Bill 124 now out. Don't wait till September and all this just of that's when the bill will mature. Now needs to be gone and improve the workloads so my colleagues in the front line can provide the care that they know, they're educated, and they want to provide, and patients need.
And just for our listeners, because I'm here in Ottawa, one of the areas that they might not know about is the closure at the Bowmanville Hospital, which
exactly.
is the GTA hospital closing,
yes.
right, closing the ICU because of staffing shortages. And as you said, they had to temporarily close and then relocate the patients because of this fallout from the pandemic and the people that couldn't come into work.
And Christy, August will be equally bad, if not worse, if we don't do more. And September will be bad. So this temporarily may become permanently. So let's now act for the sake of Ontarians, because this is not one or two or three patients that are being relocated. I believe it's eight of them, and most of them ventilated, if I'm not wrong.
I want to return quickly to something that you just said. You talked about people getting fed up and going to the United States or going to agency work. Do we have a number on that? Are you able to quantify that?
Well, the number is becoming bigger and bigger. And the problem is that when the numbers come out by the same College of Nurses of Ontario, it's like 18 months after the fact. So it will not help us, you know, even if we knew. But we know because of our surveys that the numbers increase, that people call me all the time and call others that they are moving to different places. I don't want to mention the places because I'm afraid I'm promoting them. So I don't want to mention the places, but they are moving. agencies, one of them, but the U.S., several jurisdictions in the U.S. and in Canada, and the premier is well aware because Ontario Health is well aware. Ontario Health is the agency where the premier, you know, decided to combo all the different organizations that used to be Quality Care Ontario, et cetera, et cetera. They're now Ontario Health for several years. Have you heard from them? I haven't. Let's see. Let them put the list of the hospitals that are planning to close their ERs. I'm afraid this weekend is close to, I don't know, over 10. Let's put that list out. Let's put the list of the ones that have closed or are about to close ICUs, and let Ontario Health speak about the fact that this bill needs to be gone. Let Ontario Hospital Association speak about the fact with all the CEOs that are guiding this hospital to say this bill needs to be gone. And let's move all together in unison by Bill 124 gone, so we have retention, bringing the INs, fast-tracking them with emergency registration, bringing the 35% increase in applications to IN programs. That's huge.
You're right. Doris, I want to go back. I want to go back to the nurses that are here that are waiting to get in. You said the queue is near 26,000 now, that it's grown. Yeah. So we've got a major, right? Like, it's kind of a crazy situation, just to, not to oversimplify, but just to zoom out. You've got staffing shortages to the point of closure of ERs and nurses saying, I'm so burnt out, I'm thinking about leaving, and many have left. And at the same time, you're telling me we've got a queue of 26,000 people that want to be nurses, many of them who moved here to be nurses that are not able to be nurses.
Yeah, nonsensical, right? And out of that, 26,000, we estimate, RNO is estimating that 14,000 are registered nurses, RNs, which is the ones that need to be on those ERs and on those ICUs, and none of them would close if we had them working. So why did it take so long to fasten the processing? And why we cannot even process faster is beyond me.
Do you think we're going to see a shift on this? Maybe not even just because of interviews or calls from the associations or conversations like we're having right now, but just because of the dire need, because of the urgency.
Well, we should see a change because Ontarians and patients and families depend on the health system and desperately need those RNs at work. It should not depend on Dory speaking in the media or my president Claudette speaking on right. the media or anyone else for that matter speaking on the media and you guys being so attentive to it or on Ontarians crying. We absolutely need it because the system is collapsing in front of our eyes. Nursing is the spinal cord of the health system. Every healthcare system in the world knows it, and so does Canada. Let's now make sure that the actions are taken today, this weekend, not even on August 8th when the premier gets back to the legislature. This weekend, he should send a message, because if not in August, we will not know how to come out of the mess we are getting ourselves in.
Okay, and final question is, what is the role of government here, though? Because I understand there's kind of a layered issue for some of the nurses. For example, I was reading the story of one Syrian nurse who left and didn't have anything with her due to the nature of her departure. And the hospital where she had worked was damaged, so she has been unable to get her documents because of a civil war. So her nursing school had been bombed and her old hospital, everything was damaged. What is the role of government in a situation like that?
Yeah, Syria is happening. Ukraine is happening. And then if you want to hear also more, those are tragic situations of people displaced. If you want to hear ridiculous situations, I can tell you and put in touch with
you. Well, yeah, sure. Tell us. I would actually love that. If you could give us some ideas, give us a window into some of these personal stories.
Christy, U.S. nurses that came here with all the papers and still were waiting and went back to the U.S. because here we took too long to process. Isn't that ridiculous from the U.S. that we have a trade agreement? The whole thing needs to be different. First of all, people that are displaced, like the ones you are mentioning, that come with suffering but also come with expertise. there are ways to look at prior learning assessment and see how we can start to put them in the system. Can we put them in an ICU? Likely not, because they cannot even show papers. But can we put them? Those are the people that we should be putting as PSWs and then move on to RN, to RPN, to RN, etc. But the great majority, in addition to those that are tragic situations because of displacement, the great majority have all their papers, Christy. We just need to process them faster. When people apply to a university, to a master's degree or a PhD degree from another country, you know, they acknowledge the schools that are top schools in every single country that are top schools, and they don't take years to process the person, because if you took a course on X and I took a course on X on the same school, and I actually was registered by the College of Nurses, why do you, from the same school, the same year, took the same courses, need to be processed in the same way versus this school is a well-recognized school, let's process faster? And those things need to happen because, again, these nurses are waiting. Mm-hmm. They are being, you know, lured into other jurisdictions. More and more will leave, not only the nurses that are already in the system and being exhausted because of the situation and the workloads and the fact that there is a Bill 124 in Ontario. Others will also move away if we don't fasten all the solutions at once.
Thanks very much for the time. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you. And I apologize for the public. We are trying the very best. They need to put the pressure on their MPPs to please remedy the situation, not in September, but immediately now.
Doris Grinspun, joining us on the show, the CEO of the Registered Nurses Association of Ontario. 3:50, we'll take a short break here. It is Friday as we head into a long weekend. Beautiful out there. A look at Time Saver traffic and weather.
Maybe this will refresh your memory.
Flashback.
We were on a break!
Yo, tell me what I want, what I really, really want.
Yes!
I'll have what she's having.
Flashback Friday on News Talk 580 CFRA.
We're going to have a little fun because it is Friday afternoon, and I know a lot of you are heading to your plans. And somebody just told me earlier, I asked, where are you listening from today? This person says, happy Friday. I'm listening to you in my car. We're on the way to my island cottage. Family all coming tomorrow. Dock pickup.
An island cottage. That sounds nice.
I am green with envy. That sounds amazing. An island cottage, except for the part where you have to trek everything in and trek everything out.
By
as long
boat,
as you've got
I'm
a
assuming.
Steady boat, yeah. And it's a sturdy boat and it's got lots of room. That's the one thing. I have a friend whose parents live on an island close to Kingston. Amherst Island is beautiful. It's a beautiful place. It's so dark at night. You can see the stars. There's actually deer everywhere. It's so scenic. It's so picturesque. Sun rises in the morning and you just think, oh, so nice. But you can only get to the island by boat, and so there's the ferry. And if you miss the ferry, then you're waiting for about another hour. So the one time I went to visit, I just pulled up as the ferry was moving away. I didn't know the schedule. And I sat in the parking lot there for about an hour.
As someone who's late for everything, I'm sure I'd be waiting.
Are you late for everything?
Oh, absolutely,
you're
yes.
Never late for the show.
No.
You're always up bright and early.
Well, yeah. I make an effort for you.
Socially? Or
yes.
For work.
Oh,
well.
Yeah. Anytime my friends are meeting me, they know that I'm automatically going to be at least 10 minutes late.
I'm there right on time, but I'm sweaty.
Right.
Unless it's a loose timeline. Like if somebody says, I've talked about this on the show, show up anytime after 7, I'll be there at 9. If it's a dinner party and you say, I'm going to make you this delicious dinner, I'll be there at the time that you've told me. If I'm meeting you at a movie, I'll be there at 6. We're going to a show. You're going to see Hamilton tonight, aren't you?
Yes, I won't be late for that.
You won't be late for that?
No, but I will be
nothing
rushed.
Nothing worse than the people coming down the steps with the flashlight.
I know.
Get out of here.
No, I'll be rushed to make it, but I will be on time.
Oh, we got another Jeff says doing the same thing as the last texter. All these people with island cottages.
We're missing out, Christy.
What happened to the invite for your favorite radio host? Okay? Come on. Where did that happen? It is 3:58 as you make your way to your cottage or whatever you're doing this weekend. text into the show and let us know what you're up to. Also, we'd love to hear from you about your favorite long weekend tunes. I'm thinking some throwbacks. For example, this one.
I got my first real six string, bought it at the Five and Dime, played it till my fingers bled. Was the summer of 69.
You pulled this. And it's a great tune, but a little overplayed.
I know. It's such a classic, though. I still love it.
How about this one?
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
Was this your choice?
Well, this is just one that I thought everyone listens to. Are you just making fun of me for all
of my
choices?
No, I'm just surprised. I wouldn't have pegged this as your musical choice.
I mean, not
nothing
personally.
Wrong with
I was
Willie
just,
Nelson.
You know, I was trying to choose ones that everyone would like.
Okay, this one. Okay, but this is not even Tom Cochran. This is Rascal Flatts, Hannah.
I know. I was in a rush, and this is the one that came up. I realized after.
I do enjoy some Tom Cochran.
Yeah, me too.
Not that it's a bad cover. Can we go with the Tragically Hip? Can we skip over? Because this would be my long weekend soundtrack.
Sundown in the Paris of the prairie. We kings of all. Treasures buried, and all you hear are the rusted breezes pushing around the weather vane. Jesus,
that's got to be one of the most Canadian songs, right? It's definitively
yeah.
Canadian. The opening call of the loon, the entire sound.
You can't go
this.
Wrong with a long weekend and Tragically Hip.
Can't go wrong. 4 p.m., your news is next.